Did you know that by the end of this 30-second message, nearly 1 million people will have viewed pornography on the internet? Is anything being done to help people addicted to porn? Yes. Be Broken Ministries is holding its 6th annual Putts for Purity Golf Tournament to create awareness of their various programs available to anyone struggling with a porn or sex addiction. The tournament is on October 13th at Olympia Hills Golf Course, starting at 8 a.m. To register or pledge a donation, visit puttsforpurity.com or call Be Broken Ministries at 1-800-49-PURITY. That's 1-800-497-8748 or puttsforpurity.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Stephen Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Stephen is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Stephen on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan. I'm here with Stephen. Stephen, how you doing?
I'm blessed. Thank you, Jonathan.
Good. Well, before we get started, I want to remind you, as we do periodically, that we are a listener-supported broadcast, and we are just really excited to have so many of you that pray for us and that support us financially, and we just are grateful to you for that. If you would like to learn about the various ways that you can give, and there's lots of ways, you can certainly just, you can give a monetary gift, or you could give a car, you could donate land, you could give office supplies. There's lots of ways you can come along. You can volunteer. There's different ways you can do that. Just go to puresexradio.com and click on the Make a Donation button. Well, our verse, our passage this week, it comes out of Proverbs chapter 2, and that whole chapter is really about avoiding the adulteress. And at the end of that chapter, verses 20 through 22, it says this: "Thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land and the unfaithful will be torn from it." So let's live upright lives, you know?
Yes.
And it's talking about walk in the ways of good men. I love that. I think, you know, I hope guys, if you're listening out there, man, what a charge to walk in the ways of good men. Part of that means you have to know some good men. You know, so get on the hunt out there. Start looking for some good men. I promise you, you can find some if you look for them. Well, Stephen, what are we going to talk about this week?
Well, I've had this book referred to me by several people, and I wanted to talk about this book. It's called The Traveler's Gift by Andy Andrews, and it's not really a spiritual book, although it's based on spiritual principles, but it's a fun, interesting book, and it had seven principles in it. Now, excuse me, sometimes I think it's important that we look at the whole person, because we tend to kind of like get a magnifying glass and look at the sexual part of ourselves. But I think we need to do some kind of whole person work if we're going to be healthy people. And that's why I wanted to look at this book. Now, it's funny, I wrote down this statement on the top of my paper. It says, I like that I'm a sexual being. I like that I'm a sexual person. Do you like that you're a sexual person, Jonathan?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's kind of fun to be sexual. Sexuality is fun. It's exciting. It makes us alive. And to men, it's like testosterone, energy, drive, conquest, passion, you know? Somehow sexuality is woven into all of that.
And you know what? I have no way of proving this, you know, scientifically or biologically or whatever. But I truly believe that if we did not have sexuality, then about 95% of our emotional self wouldn't exist.
Wow.
I think it's so interwoven. I mean, when you feel something, I mean, think about, I'll give you an example. You ever ridden a roller coaster?
Yes.
When you hit that first hill, you are feeling something. I think everything is, if I can say it this way, aroused in that moment. And I'm
yes.
not talking
all
sexually.
Your senses,
but you know what
yes.
I'm saying? And
yes.
I think we are sensory beings, and sensations are tied to sexuality. So I really think even our emotional being is so wrapped up in sexuality.
Yes.
And it's not a negative thing. It's good.
No, if you think about it, romance and love, what do we like, you know? What do we enjoy? I think guys like action movies and adventure, but I think we like being sexual beings. And I think it's okay to have a sexual talk once in a while and celebrate our sexuality. Now, this radio show doesn't have anything to do with that. But I wanted to say that I just like being a sexual being, and I think it's pretty healthy.
Yeah. Now, I can promise you that you're probably not going to be able to turn your dial to any other Christian talk radio show and hear the statement that Stephen just made about, I like being a sexual being. You can probably turn to a lot of secular stations and find that, and they're going to, you know, get all crude about that. But I appreciate you saying that, because I really do think sometimes we just need to hear things that we don't normally hear, but that they scream the truth.
That's good. That's good. And I think as men, our sexuality has to be affirmed. But like I said, we have to be a whole person with sexuality. And it's interesting, as I'm reading through this book, I was talking to Jonathan before we started this program, saying, okay, I'm going to go through what the author says. And then if you want to put some sexual thoughts into the discussion, fine. Because a lot of it will apply to sexuality, but it also applies in general to people and life and challenges and struggles. So the author says, and I've decided that I'm not going to go through all of his categories exactly. I'm going to tweak them slightly, but I'm going to use his, because I'm still confused about how much can you exactly take from an author and put out there, and then, you know, how much credit are you supposed to give, or you can only say so much before you're giving away their product. So I just want to go through this outline and have a discussion with you. And if you want the specifics, go get the book. So step number one, he says, is, what he does is he tells stories of different people. And so he used President Harry Truman's statement, the buck stops here. Or another way to say it is, if it's going to be, it's up to me. Have you heard statements like that? Mm-hmm. You know, it's on your shoulders. It's your life. Take responsibility. You know, don't be pushed along, prodded along, driven along, fearfully act along. Take control of your life. It's your life.
Now, I think we can, I think those of us who trust in Christ, we have a very different take on what this results in. Because I understand what you're saying there, the buck stops here. If it is to be, it's up to me. If we take that from a humanistic standpoint, then all of a sudden we try to find our source of power in ourselves. And we would totally disagree with that. But I think what you're saying here is there is a responsibility, a choice that we must make about our lives. What are we going to do? Are we going to think that all decisions must just be external to us? Everybody else has got to choose what we're going to. If you do that, you are going to find yourself trapped in a victim mentality.
Yes.
Because you're going to go wherever your spouse tells you to go, or wherever this culture tells you to go, or wherever that television program tells you. And next thing you know, you're going to be a bitter person that's thinking you're a victim because you never stood up and said, wait a second, this is my life. I need to take responsibility for it and make my choices. Now, as a Christian, We're going to say we make those choices in light of God's word and in light of the fact that he's given us his Holy Spirit. But you know what? Even in that, God still says, you have to make a choice. You know, that's the interesting
thing. You mean to pick him or how to live? What's the choice?
How to live. We still have to choose. I'll give you an example. You know, we talk about, obviously, sexuality and sexual things on here. So let's take pornography, for example. Is the Bible clear about pornography being a sin?
Yes.
Yes. So then, and I have the Holy Spirit indwelling me because of the power of Jesus Christ when I trusted him through faith. But does that mean that I don't have a choice when it comes to pornography? I mean, his best is he's still saying that's a sin. It will lead to death. It's not something that's good for you. It's unhealthy. It is not my way. But does he say now you're a robot because you're one of my kids? I still have a choice. I have to take responsibility. So whether I choose to look at pornography or choose not to, he still leaves that choice to me. And so I think that's what you're talking about here in this first step is, hey, we have to choose.
Yes, and I think you're putting the spiritual twist on it, which makes a lot of sense. I think in a general sort of way, it goes like this. Are you going to be a victim of your past? Or are you going to live a victorious life? Mm-hmm. Are you going to live? Or are you just going to grow up? You know, are you going to live? Are you going to choose each day and put it on and walk in it? Are you going to be responsible? Are you going to, you know what, the economy and the traffic and the people at work and the people at church, you know how people treat me and nobody's, no, you know, it's your life. You get to write part of the script. You know, God has a plan, but every day he says, we're going to walk out this life. And so take responsibility for your life. And if you've been wounded and struggle, that's okay. You know, I think of Joni Erickson Tada.
Yeah.
I think about her a lot when I'm in a difficult situation. This is so wimpy. I'm about to dive into the swimming pool, and it's cold water, and I'm going to exercise. And I say, and when I'm in a difficult situation, this is a difficult situation because I have to force my warm body into a cold pool of water and then start, you know, stroking the water and stay above it, you know? And I think to myself, would Joni complain if she had to jump into a cold pool of water and could feel that water? Because she doesn't have any feelings. She's paralyzed from the neck down.
Yeah.
And so I say, I'm going to do this, and I'm not going to complain because I have freedom of mobility, and she doesn't.
And, you know, I think something you're saying is very powerful, and it is the multiplication effect of those who will choose to not be a victim. Because what you're just saying right now is I mean, did Johnny face a tragic event?
Thank you. It's Johnny Erickson. That's right.
Yeah. Did she face a tragic? Absolutely. What did she choose, though, to do in light of that event? She chose joy. She chose to continue to make decisions about how her life quality would be from that point in time. Hey, after she broke her neck, she didn't have any control over her circumstance anymore. It is what it is. She cannot move her arms and legs. But she made a choice still in her heart and in her mind about how she was going to respond to that. And what has that done? It's not only inspired you, it's inspired millions of people to say, how am I going to face difficult situations? Am I going to be a victim? Or maybe might I draw encouragement from someone who has shown what it's like to rise above that? And I think there's a multiplication effect. And so, listeners, we're encouraging you to say, hey, break out of that victim mentality and realize this day, today, right now, you have a choice. Maybe not in your circumstance, but you have a choice in your attitude, and you have a choice in how you are going to respond to it in your heart and your mind.
And we would encourage you to push through. Mm-hmm. Push through the fear. Push through the doubt. Don't let anything hold you back. I really think that God has great plans for us, and he has gifted us immensely. And it's fear and doubt and background and poor training. And so we're hoping today that you take responsibility for anything that's held you back today. don't care what it is. Mm-hmm. You take responsibility to say, I'm going to live victoriously. Even if I live in a small, difficult world, I'm going to be victorious in that small world. So I say, speak to fear and say, you're just fear. You're not life, you're fear. And I'm going forward now. So number one. Number two, he says, Andrew says, seek wisdom. Oh, wait a minute. Somebody said that first, didn't they? Jesus Christ said, you know, seek wisdom, pursue wisdom. And I'll tell you, that has grabbed me all of my life. I pray every day and several times a day for wisdom because I'm not a very smart man. But I feel like incredible insights are given to me about people and relationship and life because I ask the maker of life to make me wise in those things.
How would you, just for the sake of our listeners and just for me as well, how would you define wisdom? Because I think a lot of times people hear wisdom and they think, I appreciate what you said about saying you're not a smart man, but you seek wisdom. You know, I think a lot of people think it's just, oh, super smart people are wise. What would you say wisdom is?
Well, I think wisdom is truths, great truths that are powerful and transform lives, that set people free. So I'm looking for the truths in life. And you revealed one earlier about porn. In a previous show, you said really porn's not the problem. Porn's a symptom. There's an intimacy problem underneath. Well, I think that is a wise statement, and that is a true statement. And it has the power to set someone free. And everything that God says is for our purposeful functioning and successful functioning. You want to know how to live powerfully with his body? Well, figure out what truths God has out there and claim them, and you'll be set free because you'll be walking in your design. So I love relationships. I've always loved relationships, and I wonder how people are stuck and how good is their relationship and how do we love better? And what is love? And what does it look like? And what hinders people from getting there? And how do we, you said this earlier, how was your statement? I sabotage myself. That's what you said, right? I sabotage myself from the very goal I want. I mean, that was an honest confession. And then wisdom would say, okay, Jonathan, this is how you've been doing it. So don't do that. Try something else.
Yeah, and I would just piggyback that and say I really think that, you know, if you want to come from a biblical standpoint, I really believe that wisdom is really appropriately applied knowledge. And more specifically, we're told in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 10 and 11, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life." There's even the promise of long life if you seek wisdom. And I really think wisdom is one of those things that, while I don't believe that it can come through like academic means, I think it comes along the lines of what you're talking about. You said you gain insights and you carry these insights. And what does that require? Well, it requires you mixing with others and sharing ideas and definitely from a scriptural perspective, what does it say here? Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That's not just book knowledge. That's coming to know God in a relational way. And as we learn to walk with him, guess what? We grow in wisdom. Notice it says the fear of the Lord is only the beginning of wisdom. He wants us to acknowledge that he is the all-wise one, and as we learn to walk with him, we will actually then grow and mature in wisdom.
Yes, and another translation says respect of the Lord, mm-hmm. not fear like he's going to spank.
Not dread.
Him. Yeah, yes. But respect of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Why? If he's the creator of life, then he's got all the answers. He understands how things are supposed to work, and he's equipped us with the spirit that lives in us and his book, in his presence. So pursue wisdom, and I'd encourage you every day to pray for wisdom because something happens in your spirit that's bigger than your mind. Number three, be a person of action. Take action. Don't just go through the motions. It's funny because sometimes I like television and sometimes I hate it. It just so consumes me. I'll just turn it on and I'll watch this, then I'll flip to that, then I'll watch some news here, and then I'll go back and I'll watch part of a movie. I'm driving the women out there crazy. Put the remote down and leave it on one channel. I can hear them. But it's like you can catch a fish and on one show, and then you can spear an alligator on another one. You can take a bike up a mountain on one, and you can, understand heat waves. It's just amazing the things that are available to us. But the problem is it encourages you to sit. Mm-hmm. And it encourages you to watch life.
It encourages you to tune out, too. Mm. I mean, there's a reason it's called the boob tube. It's like you just go brain dead. And I think in light of this, the last step of seeking wisdom, if you tie it in with this third one of being a person of action, it makes my mind jump into the New Testament in James, where it says, don't just basically know the word, but do what it says. So if we're gaining wisdom, wisdom that isn't applied in action is really useless. It's pointless. I mean, Stephen, we could sit here all day and share all these great, profound insights. But you know what? If you and I don't go out in our lives and live it and do it, what good is it?
And I'm writing down do significant things, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm not trashing television.
No.
What I'm saying is we can get caught up into too much entertainment. And our society loves entertainment. Just play video games, watch TV programs, go to movies, get lost in entertainment. But we're called to live significant lives, act significantly. Better to go for a walk and work on your health. Call a friend, visit an elderly, write a letter. Read a book, do something that is significant to growth. Now, recreate, because remember, on the seventh day, he rested, right? That's okay, too, but he worked for the first six. Mm-hmm. So be a person of action, and that action is in terms of personal growth. And I think you and I have said this before, we have to be better students of ourselves. We have to know ourselves. Because we make messes and we hinder ourselves and others. And the more I think about it, I really think that one of the mysteries of life is that God loves growth. And he put us on a journey of growth. And when you're walking in that growth, you're right on purpose. You're right in purpose. You're walking in design is what I'm trying to say. It's purposeful.
That's good. Well, to keep us moving forward, I like this number four. He says, I have a decided heart, or you could say, I have decided in my heart. Now, how does that grab you? What do you think he's saying there, Stephen?
Well, let's see. What are the options? I could have a restless heart. I could have a fearful heart. I could have a tired heart. I could be broken and beat down.
I could have a passive heart.
Yes, and I could turn on myself. I could have a very shameful heart. But I have a decided heart. It's almost like a point in time. I have to decide. At some point, I have to say, get over it, move forward, practice better, repeat something better than shame to myself.
You know what? This makes me think about the process that my wife went through when it came to forgiveness of all of my sins against her. There was a point in time where she had this decided heart. She'd gone through her grief process. She had gone through her pain. She'd acknowledged all of that. She had really come to a place where there was a decided heart to say that she was going to forgive me and basically choose to not hold my sins against me. And so there was a point in time where there was that decided heart. Did that mean she never had to... that she never had to revisit that decision ever again? No, she would say there was definitely a point in time where she forgave me, but then daily had to choose to revisit that and say, am I going to stay committed to what I chose and what my decision was in my heart? And so I think there's kind of a both and there. We can have these powerful sort of watershed moments where we make this decision about a direction that we are going. But you know what? We're going to have to remind ourselves of that decision sometimes on a daily basis so that we can stay on track with that decision.
That sounds so much better than a troubled heart.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or all the other things we talked about. I've come to resolution and I'm going forward. Mm-hmm. I've decided some things and I'm going forward. So having a decided heart is kind of restful. I've just decided what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
So number five, today I will choose to be happy. I like this one. And in fact, my mother, who's getting up there in years, says, if you want to send me something, if you want to give me a gift, give me a joke book, because I want to laugh. At my age, people complain, and I want to laugh. I want to tell jokes. I want to laugh, and I want to enjoy. There's something powerful in humor and pleasurable about humor, and laughter is lighthearted and fun, and it's bigger than our problems. I want to find happiness. In the Bible, it talks about joy. You know, I want to have a joyful heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that immediately made me think of the passage in Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Notice, though, how he says it twice there. The Apostle Paul says it twice. But what does that require? Rejoice in the Lord. What does it require? You have to choose to rejoice. Stephen, every single morning that you've ever gotten up in your entire life, do you just wake up immediately just almost spontaneously and just naturally rejoicing? Or do you have to choose
That's right.
to rejoice?
I grunt, I roll over, I figure out what joints aren't working too good.
Right, yeah.
I stretch a little, go, okay, everything's working.
And then you have to say, okay, wait a second, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always.
But it's like a command. Yeah. It's a decided heart. It's a direction. It's an aspect of your personality that you want to make sure it's alive because, you know, we're told to be like little children, and they're in discovery, and they're playing, and they're rejoicing, mm-hmm. you know? And so we're called to have those kind of hearts, a heart full of joy, and it's powerfully contagious. When you get around somebody that's fun, boy, the room just lightens up. The afternoon gets to be, you know, punctuated with laughter. And there's just some freedom in it. Mm-hmm. It's a safe place to laugh. You know, I think there's times to be fearful and cautious and to be judging and assessing and, you know, put your defense up. But, boy, when you get around a person with a joyful heart that laughs, you just get kicked back in time and you're young again. So that was number five. Number six, I will greet each day with a forgiving heart. Forgiveness will be a part of who I am. I am humanity. I am fallen, broken, imperfection, and I mess up. And my Father gives me forgiveness because He forgave me. I forgive you.
And you know what? This one actually ties in really well. It might seem weird at first, but it really ties in well, really well with number one about the buck stops here, about making a choice of not being a victim. I really believe that if you can greet each day with a forgiving spirit, not only of yourself and realizing, hey, I'm broken, and embracing and receiving the grace of God that He pours out on you each and every day. He says His mercies are new every morning, and He demonstrates His faithfulness to us every day. But also being able to share and give that forgiveness to others and realize, you know what, we're all among broken humanity. We're all among broken people. So before I'm quick to slam my finger in somebody else's chest and tell them everything that's wrong about them, what if I instead approach that with a forgiving spirit? And what it will do is it will break you out of a victim mentality. You'll realize, hey, I can breathe a little easier in life. I don't have to be so wound up and so uptight about every little thing. I can actually learn to relax
and forgive. So in terms of wrapping it up, we have to cover number seven real quickly. I have to persist. And even through difficulty, hardship, and heartache, I won't quit. And that's her challenge. Don't quit. Don't quit. Persist.
And we'll wrap it up with this verse here, again, out of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13 and 14, Paul says this, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We pray that that's your experience this week, that you press on, keep going. We're glad you've been with us, and we look forward to having you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.